This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to another episode of the Believe in Bucks podcast. This is your co-host, Luca Costa. This is the main host of the Pretty Face of Patrick Previty. It's a good day to be a Bucks fan. You know, it's a good day to talk about some basketball, but there is some sad news that we must address first. Sadly, Jerry West, the logo himself, has passed away early this morning. As we're recording this, it is Wednesday. Our deepest condolences obviously go out to him and his family and everyone he impacted. And I know this wasn't really on script, Patrick, but just real quick, man, just like just what Jerry West, you know, what he means to the game of basketball, you know, just some brief thoughts.
Yeah, Jerry West, when you think of just like an amazing basketball career, I think Jerry West is probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball career and legacy ever. I mean, obviously there are other guys out there and we're not, you know, trying to compare right now at this time, but he's a 9-time champion as player and executive. He brought Shaq and Kobe to the Lakers in the same year. 10-time All-NBA, the logo, as you've already mentioned, as everybody knows, and as Jerry West isn't exactly the most fond of, but, you know, we know what that means to everybody else. That's what you see when you actually see the NBA. It's the logo.
Yep.
He's pretty much one of the most decorated individuals in basketball history and never really had much issue off the court either. So sad day. Basketball lost truly a great one.
No, absolutely, man. Obviously, you know, he was a little bit unfortunate. His career only won one ring as a player himself. You know, he was just unfortunate to just go against, you know, an absolutely bloated Celtics Bill Russell team. He's the only player to ever win a finals MVP while being on the losing team. So if that doesn't tell you about him, then I don't know what will. But talking about the Lakers, we're actually going to get into some talk today about a former coach for the Lakers who currently joined the Milwaukee Bucks staff. So Patrick, if you want to go ahead, get right into it. Let's get down to business, man.
Yeah, familiar face joins the Milwaukee Bucks staff. This happened a couple days ago. Darvin Ham, and it is coming back to town. Coming back to Milwaukee. Look, maybe he got a raw deal in LA. Maybe he didn't, depending on like kind of what you believe from them. But he was dismissed after going 94-70 in the last two seasons with the Lakers, and he had a trip to the Western Conference Finals just a couple years ago. He was with the Bucks for 4 years and was a part of the 21 championship run.
Yep.
Now he comes back. Was probably one of the more highly sought after assistant head coaches on the market. Even if he was on the market, he could have went 100 different ways here about like kind of sitting out and all that good stuff. Like he could have probably sat out, done some TV work or anything like that, but he decided to come back. And I think that's something that's big time. That's a big time get for Doc Rivers and his staff. I think that's huge. I'm glad he's back.
No, I 100% agree. Although he was a little bit unfortunate in his tenure with the Lakers, I really don't think it's fair to place all that blame on him. Yes, he went out this round in the first round, in five games. But I mean, it's like, what are you playing? You know, the three-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray hit two game winners in really, really close games. I really don't think it's all on him. So I think it is I think it's going to be a really positive requirement for this front office, you know, for this team. He's worked with Giannis before. He's worked with Chris Middleton before. And now he's going to have to handle the load with another superstar in Damian Lillard. I think the team is going to end up shaking a lot. Before he actually starts coaching, I think he's gonna, because that just depends on, you know, who we bring into the offseason, who leaves. And I really do think that this team is gonna end up, you know, it's gonna make some waves this offseason. But I think it's just really good to have that familiarity, you know, in the locker room, especially as a player. That was one of the really big talking points in the last year about how the coaches just did not feel the same connection with Andy Griffin. Even though he did it. Ultimately, you know, really did push the Bucks to a very high level of playing basketball. It's just that it wasn't really what they had in mind for them. But yeah, he's back in Milwaukee, and I'm pretty excited to see how this goes. I'd be 100% lying to you if I was saying that I wasn't a little bit skeptical. If I wasn't a little bit, you know, on the fence about it, you know, because yes, he was in the Western Conference Finals, and like I just said, he did end up playing against some very, very high quality, opponents in the Denver Nuggets. But it's really, in my opinion, what's the question is, like, you know, his adjustments on the fly, you know, and to be honest with you, Doc Rivers is also a coach who very, very, very much holds that same reputation. He's not a coach known to make adjustments in game. He's not a coach known to, you know, go ahead and see what the team is doing, try to match up against them. So I really just, I'm just a little curious to see how they're going to tackle that this year going forward. I think in my opinion, it's very good to have familiarity in the coaching staff. And it's very important for, you know, for your superstars to respect their coach, you know, and to look up to someone like him. So I think it'll be a positive change.
Yeah, this is one of the better moves I've seen so far from us in a minute. I think that this was a huge get. I understand the being skeptic about him as a head coach with the Lakers. I think there was so many different things. It's difficult. Like, it was difficult to coach that Lakers team this year. Like, it's not easy. They just, you know, Dan Hurley just said no. We'll see what happens with JJ. I think he really wants to say yes. Like, they're still looking around, wheeling, and dealing, like, just throwing out money to college guys. And there was even, like, Jay Wright reports. So we'll see what they end up doing. But right now, I think that Lakers job, it can almost be looked at, like, within a vacuum. Like, I think his basketball resume should almost be judged with everything else that he's done on top of this Lakers job. And I feel like he didn't do a bad job, but they're at a very weird spot. Like yeah, you're going to re-sign LeBron James. He's going to be 40, which is fine because he's still a beast, but you're probably going to want to draft Bronny, and you're probably going to want to figure out what you're going to do with Austin Reeves. And then, like, with the rest of that bench, and then you're going to,
yeah, of course,
Anthony Davis is already into his 30s now. So he's that next guy up, but he's not going to be the top flight guy, if that makes sense. Like, he could be the franchise cornerstone. He's been there for so long now. Which is kind of almost crazy to say. They're trying to figure stuff out with the Lakers. So I think whenever I grade, Darvin Ham, I'm looking back at he joined the staff, you know, over 10 years ago. I believe now. Budenholzer. He followed Budenholzer from the Hawks to the. Mm-hmm. To the Bucks, you know, so he's been attached to him, and he still decided to come back even with Doc Rivers at the helm. I think that's huge. Doc Rivers is trying to clean up this coaching staff because it wasn't really his, and, you know, he's trying to get his own guys. I think Darvin Ham, like, respects what Doc Rivers is doing. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being a positive, you know, move for this franchise, but I just did want to have talk about, you know, some of the things that he did do. Obviously, he did win that 2021 championship with us, I'm just looking at the stats, you know, I'm just a little curious, because I have some questions, you know, like, obviously, they did end up winning the championship, you know, but they shot below the average on the three-point percentage in the entire playoffs. The average was at 36%, the Milwaukee Bucks shot at a 32% clip, which is, and again, take these stats with a grain of salt. The team has changed significantly since then. The league has changed so much just in those last, just in those 3-4 years. You know, it's about to come up on our fourth year. You know, there's just a lot of different talent. They shot below the free throw average in the playoffs, which was 78%. They shot a 41% clip, which is another very, very, very key part to the playoff game. You know, free throws, making your free throws, you know, getting those extra points down the stretch. But something almost just as important, I would say, is free throws, as rebounds, you know, possessions. possessions that you get, you know, extra chances in them, you know, just being good on the glass, which is something that the Bucks were actually really, really, really good at. In that finals run, they're actually one of the lead the top rebounding teams in the playoffs that year. I know it's a little bit, you know, they ended up playing more games, so obviously they had more total rebounds, but they were just averaging more. They're averaging 29.5 total rebounds a game, and I think the average that year was 23. So you know, they were actually, you know, they were hitting the glass. You know, they're hitting the glass hard. You know, and any team with Brooke Lopez, and you say the word rebound, you know, it doesn't really mesh well together. So you know, I mean, I think I really do see Darvin Ham as this type of nitty gritty type of coach, and I really do think that that's the type of play that you really want to. I feel like that's the type of team this Bucks team can be. You know, we have players who are willing, you know, go and sacrifice themselves for this franchise. Obviously, we have Giannis. Obviously, we have Chris Middleton, who is getting up there in age, but still, we already saw this playoff run. He still got a lot of gas in the tank. Dame was willing to go out there and do whatever it takes to win. You know, we got Ajax off the bench, who's a really scrappy guy as well. You know, so I think that this core, this team that we're building right now, I think will be very exciting to see under this type of coaching style. But yeah, I mean, I just Patrick, what are you hoping that he brings, you know, to the team this year?
I think Doc Rivers doesn't have an issue with credibility, if that makes sense. Like, I know there's some people like far and away, you know, some fans and everything saying like, oh, he's blowing all these 3-1 leads, these playoff series leads, all that stuff. Why is he the first call, first name, whenever any team is trying to get a coach to fill their coaching void or to take over after they fired anybody? But I feel like Darvin Ham deciding to not go to the Suns and join Budenholzer, I think that is one of those credibility boosters. We already saw them play really hard under Doc Rivers in the playoffs. I think that with Darvin Ham saying, look, I'm going to come in and I'm going to be an assistant coach, I'm returning back to the Bucks, I really enjoyed being a part of this organization, I want to coach with and under Doc Rivers, legend of the game, I think that that's really big. I think that that is something that resonates with the organization, with the players, and I think it only makes Doc Rivers' job easier. You know, like you said, we're this coaching staff is kind of changing up a little bit. There weren't really many changes when Doc Rivers came in, and so I think he's really trying to morph it into his own. The ex-Cavaliers assistant Greg Buckner is also expected to join the staff here in Milwaukee. I think that just him figuring out stuff and getting more comfortable, full off season with this team, planning the draft, the free agency period in the off season, summer league, training camp, all that stuff, on top of having his own guys in the building, is so important for Doc Rivers. And I think absolutely. That just in general will be cleaned up, because when we face a level of adversity, which is inevitable, like we did this year, as long as it's not just an injury plague, I think the Bucks will be able to get through it and power through it a lot better than they did this year.
Absolutely. And of course, we're going to be picking up new talent, like you said, in free agency. Who knows who we're going to trade, what kind of trades we're going to make. You know, like you said, the cap is really not really in our favor. You know,
not at all in our favor,
you know, but you know, it's okay. It is what it is. Well, we move, you know, and obviously, you know, we got the draft coming up. You know, we actually got some very exciting prospects that me and Patrick are going to keep continuing to talk about, keep diving into. We kind of scratched the surface the last time about on this segment, you know, but we're going to go and really try to give you guys more of a better look at it this time. I mean, we have actually a couple of prospects lined up here that we're going to talk about. And the first one, one being from G League Ignite, which, I mean, me and Patrick had this conversation before. The Ignite team, which is actually in its last year, there will no longer be a team after this. But the Ignite team, I think, in my opinion, has been a little bit hit or miss. I don't think it's been horrible. I don't think it's been bad. Obviously, you got some really, really, really talented guys like Jalen Green, who have come from that Ignite team and have really made waves in the NBA already. Shout out to the Houston Rockets for that amazing run they went on the last end of the season. Of course, you got the Thompson Twins, among other people that I'm forgetting. But right now, we're talking about Tyler Smith, 6'11" forward. I mean, Patrick, do you want to give us some insight on the guy?
Okay, yeah. So we talked about a little bit about how the G League Ignite, it is kind of hit or miss, and you just don't know what you're getting from that team. And I believe it's folding. I don't think that they're going to continue with the G League Ignite. Was this the last year?
Yeah, that's what I said. This is the last year.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was already looking ahead to what I was going to say about Tyler Smith. I'm getting into that. Look, it's the classic it's the classic high school path. Maybe not classic. Class is not the right word.
It's the old school high school path. It's getting out of high school, playing 1 year, trying to get drafted, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. But I meant like when you think of of the AAU kind of ball player. This is what you're getting because he spent his last two high school seasons with the Overtime Elite.
Yeah, facts.
So he's played 3 years of different kinds of basketball that's not high school, college, or like in, you know, a foreign country or in a professional league. Yeah, and it's just been slightly different. It's been that new wave. And I said classic as in I just feel like that's what you think when you think of the new wave, but that's what he's been doing. Yeah. He's kind of getting compared to a Jabari Smith, Kyle Kuzma, Michael Porter Jr. type of play, a big wing who can kind of move and could play a small ball five just depending on what you ask for him. I'm curious as like to whether that is what we're looking for with the first overall pick. I don't know exactly. I believe he was mocked by The Athletic to go to us. Sam Vecenie, apologize if that's not how you say the name, but I believe Sam Vecenie of The Athletic is what mocked us. And we're going through 8 of the players who are in the
Right now he's ranked on ESPN, he's ranked 21st. And then on Tankathon, he's ranked 24th, I think.
Yeah. So yeah. And all these players were gathered in one article by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel which was written by J.R. Radcliffe, and he put together 8 prospects mocked by different sites. And that's what we're going through right now. And the first one was The Athletic from Tyler Smith. I just think it's really interesting because this is a guy that I would not have immediately expected to be on our radar, but I actually do think like the positional size. It's been reported that he's got great scoring instincts. He averaged 13.7 points per game last year, and he shot 36% from three.
Yeah.
I think that this is a player I could see us taking, in all honesty, in the 20s.
I 100% agree. I think you just said it. I really like – there's something we've been talking about on this podcast for I don't even know how long now. We really lack in size without Giannis, especially Brooke. Yeah. We know it's the only center on the team. But this guy literally molds Brooke, you know, especially what he does now. I'm not going to say this guy's going to come out here and have – you know, 6 dominant seasons with us, but you know, he's 6'11" guy, really spaces the floor well. And Brook Lopez does have one more year left on his contract before he enters free agency. And that caliber of player to find in this day's NBA is just so very, very, very rare, and it's tough. And so I really do think that Tyler Smith is something that we really could use on this team. Obviously any youth is good, you know. But yeah, I mean, I just love the idea of, you know, this link, you know, 6'11" guys being able to shoot the ball. And we see what Michael Porter Jr. has done for the Nuggets after struggling for a little bit in the NBA before really making a name for himself. He had back spasms at Mizzou, but he's really done his thing. So yeah, I would Tyler Smith, I don't think, is a bad pick at all.
Yeah, so but we'll see what ends up happening, if he's even going to be there at our pick. But moving into the next prospect, Carlton Carrington. We talked about him last time, the guard from Pitt, 6'6", great size, very, you know, a lot of different possibilities. This is something I can very well see also happening. Excuse me, I believe he's 6'4", with 6'8" wingspan, so I got right in the middle there.
Yeah,
but yeah, he can score, facilitate. We're looking at guys like Markelle Fultz and DeLon Wright. That's what I'm seeing as different kinds of comps for him. I don't know exactly if a 2 is what he can be in the NBA. I'm reading a lot of different stuff about how he's really good off the ball and at the point. I think obviously we're looking for a shooting guard here. We're not really looking for a point guard.
I mean, that's the thing, though. I feel like this, if we were to take this pick, I don't think it'd be a pick to where it's like we slot him in immediately. I think this would be a project type of pick. It'd be someone to come off the bench and eventually end up leading the bench unit, you know, or maybe coming in and being a spark plug off the bench. But I think he really does have good somatics. Like you said, 6'4 with a 6'8 wingspan, not really a lot more you can ask for at the guard position. You know, nowadays, all these freakish guards are 6'6, 6'7, you know, but, you know, you can't have it all. But yeah, I mean, him being off the ball, players who can play off the ball are just as important, like with the ball. The ball always finds you, and that's one thing about basketball. It's like why Steph Curry is so special for what he does. His off-ball movement is literally second to none. It's one of the greatest off-ball moments we've seen from a guard. So I think that him being able to put another shooter, I'm going to say of that caliber, is obviously not the same as Steph Curry. I'm not going to sit here and say that Damian Lillard is as good as a shooter as Steph Curry. But when you think of shooting guards, elite shooting guards in the NBA, you think of Damian Lillard. And I think just being, you know, him being ahead of him, you know, seasoned vet, having done this in the league for a while, I think it'll be a great pick as well. I'm not really upset about that one either, because we do need to pack up. I think this kind of shows that Patrick Beverly is most likely going to leave, because we're looking for someone to take his role and really just, you know, take the reins on the second unit of the offense. So,
And this is a guy who would be very talented at other areas outside of offense. And that's what's probably the most intriguing about him. And you're right. I think the more that we talk about the Patrick Beverley situation, the more I'm just like, look, he's gone. So we'll probably have to replace him in the draft. And if it's not in the first round, second round, or from a guy on summer league. But I definitely see somebody trying to take that defensive guard position that we have. Maybe he's on the roster right now. Maybe he's not. Moving into the next prospect. Khalil Ware out of Indiana. This is a guy, he was a five-star coming out of high school. He was the eighth ranked in his class, seventh on a couple other different recruiting websites. Initially was offered a two-year $900,000 contract by Overtime Elite, but he declined it and maintained his commitment to Oregon. He ended up at Indiana the following year. So this guy was a two-year collegiate player. And he showed a ton of improvement that he needed that second year. He only played about 16 minutes per game in his freshman year at Oregon, 6.6 points, 4 rebounds. But then when he went to Indiana, played really well for them last year, and his splits were crazy. He can't really shoot free throws, but he averaged 16 and 10 and 2 blocks per game. He had 59% from the field and 43% from the three. Obviously, the threes were not exactly at a high clip, but with everything, his production increased across the board. So I think that's something that's really that's something that you can really hang your hat on if you're aware. And the improvement is something that's there. And that's probably why he is mocked though so low, is because he needed that extra year. But I actually don't think I mentioned this. Obviously, a center, he's averaging 2 blocks per game. He's 7 feet tall, a lot of size, big player. Somebody I definitely think would fill our biggest need.
Absolutely. I think this goes right exactly back to the comparison we made about the first pick that we talked about, Tyrus Smith. He's obviously got the size, 7-footer. But on top of that, me personally, maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like it's just like I feel like a lot of coaches would rather take someone who is willing to learn and ready to make the jump versus someone who's just naturally talented and just coast through that. So the fact that he wasn't at a level and then made that jump really makes me more excited about him as well. And on top of that, he's an absolute freaking nature, you know? Like he's seven feet tall, but he's not slow at all. He covers ground. He absolutely is a rim runner. And like you said, I mean, he's not shooting, you know, a lot of threes, you know, this guy's no Chris Stapps, you know, but he can absolutely shoot that thing too. And I think it just goes into more and more. And I think any big man we take is normally going to be a good pick, just simply for the fact of the size issue that we have right now in Milwaukee. But Brook Lopez has one more year on his contract, and Bobby Portis most likely leaving in the next year as well. So I think that'd be a good pick as well. I can't be mad at that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Either.
And he is being mocked to us from Jonathan Givani on ESPN.com. Carlton Carrington was mocked to us by USA Today from Jeff Zilgit.
We got reliable sources over here, guys. We won't be
We're talking about a ton of different opinions and different sites. That might be my number one right now. As far as the three guys that we're going to, I really like the fact that he improved so much. His game improved so much.
And rim protection is huge for me too, in my opinion. Yeah,
from his freshman to sophomore year. I think that that's something that translates to the NBA. And we're seeing a lot of guys come out a little bit later now. It's not all just freshmen, because COVID really messed a lot of stuff up. And on top of NIL, you're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we're going to go back around to a player that we talked about last time. Tristan Da Silva, 6'8 forward out of Colorado, is being mocked to us by Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation. This is somebody that we talked about last time. I believe he was was he your favorite prospect from the last
year? Yes, 100%. This is, in my opinion, one of the guys that I feel like would – I just don't – I think that he just has the lowest – I think no matter what, like, his upside's going to be good. I feel like whether you just – I feel like whether you try to slot him in. First of all, I think he can play 2 through 4 because he's such a great defender. He's got great size, 6'8", shoots the ball, an amazing clip. And, you know, he's just very quality, 38.6% from the three, you know, and then – we already went to the stats on how accurate, how good he is off the handoff, off one dribble, stuff like that. He's just very, very, very versatile and just a player that I feel like a lot of teams would want. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and nail it just one more time. Say it again. 40% while so shooting 40%, 62 off handoffs, 42 curling off screens, 41 off the catch and shoot, 39 off the dribble. He if you just give him the ball, he's going to put the ball in the basket. So I really do think he was a very interesting player and a prospect that I would not be mad at all to see on this team. It just really is kind of difficult to see, like, you know, I think just right now at the forward position, we are very much like loaded, especially in the starting lineup. I mean, I think he definitely would come off the bench and, you know, and end up being, you know, second option at Spark Club, which is something that we talked about in this podcast as well, how we really do need second option scoring. So I think that Tristan DeSilva does work out really well, and I would love to see him in a Bucks uniform.
So I just don't know if he's going to be available at this pick. Because he's going to go super high, but because I think his value really starts to shine and what he can do with those teams that are picking in the middle of the pack, who might feel like they're a step behind. They're not that far behind the top teams in the NBA, and they want to take a guy who's really polished. His main weakness, and almost his only weakness, is essentially just what is his ceiling, because he's going to start his NBA career at 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's older than us. That's usually not the best start for a prospect.
Yeah.
And that is something that I think a lot of teams in the lottery are going to decide to stay away from him. And I believe that's why, they're going to stay away from him. And it's also why I think a team like the Bucks at 23 could pick him, because he's a polished player. He's pretty much a finished product. Yep. You could just throw him in there on the bench and he could be a good role player for us. And I'm straight out of the gate.
I'm a little bit biased to him too, because he's one of those Euro hoopers, bro. And I don't know, bro, like something about those European guys, like all we've seen is how they make the adjustment to the league really, really well. You know, obviously, like you look at the Wagner twins, you know, Mo Wagner was in Michigan, you know, he came here, he's been doing a great job. Obviously, his brother Franz is a little bit better than him. But then you look at Luka, you look at Jokic. You know, a lot of these. I'm not saying he's going to come to those standards, but I just feel like the level of European basketball right now that is being produced is at a really, really, really good level. And I just don't. I don't think it would hurt. You know, I think you said he's polished. He's effective right now, and the Bucks, I feel like, are in a win now mentality.
Mm-hmm. What I'm really worried about is I think he's going to go to Cleveland or Phoenix, and they both pick right before us at 20-22 respectively. True. I think Cleveland's in a spot where they've drafted enough projects, Monty Bates being one of them, I believe, they picked him up. And and I just think they want to win now too, right? Because they're going to potentially re-sign Donovan Mitchell. They're saying, look, we gotta go.
Yeah, but that, I don't know, that whole situation, I feel like, is a dumpster fire.
They don't know exactly what they want yet.
Exactly. You lose the coach. Obviously, two of your stars don't know if they want to play together anymore. The centers are virtually the same player. It's complicated over there.
But with Phoenix, this is like the only pick that you ever have, like in the rest of franchise history. Right. So why not take it on a guy to win now? Especially
they're in win now for sure.
So I think that he would fit that mold. So we'll see if he's still available, but this is another guy that I think I could definitely see us drafting. Right now, my top two guys are Ware and DeSilva. I would say that I would be okay with either of those. Two kind of almost completely different prospects, which really just kind of shows you where we're at right now. But we'll move into the forward from Duke, Kyle Filipowski. We had a little bit of an argument, but a little bit of a correction, because I said that he was the number one offensive scoring option for Duke. Look, he's one or two, and he's being mocked to us by CBS from an article by Cameron Salerno, of CBS. He says Filipowski is probably the most skilled player offensively, his size in this class. He can stretch the floor and bruise inside. Filipowski is more of a four than a five at the next level, but his archetype is what NBA teams are looking for. Hopefully he doesn't get the Tyler Hansborough.
He might be getting a little glazed right now. I don't know, but he's kind of tough. That Tyler Hansborough, dude. Oh my God. You just brought back a memory and a half, bro. Wow. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I really hope not, man. Cause like, I mean, this guy, he was very excited to watch, very exciting to watch in the tournament, you know, him and Jeremy King, you know, really doing that thing on the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, man, I think I mean, the only thing with me is just like, I don't know, like how good is he going to be defensively? That's really, yeah. I feel like a lot of times when you see these offensive guys at this size who are so skilled on the offensive side of the floor, they really, really, really struggle to compete with the physicality in the NBA. And that's the thing in the NBA, everyone's just as skilled as you are. Everyone's just as good as shooting the ball. Everyone's just as good as dribbling. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really is. You just got to make that little jump. So I guess we'll see. But he looks like a very exciting prospect as well.
Yeah, I'm interested to see like what his ceiling could be. And also the Tyler Hansborough comparison is just, I'm saying that people might throw that on somebody, a kind of a hated or controversial like white player coming up.
No, I get you. No, I remember.
Years in college. Yeah, you know, because I think he's just way more talented than Tyler Hansborough really ever was.
Yeah, facts.
And especially just because it's that kind of NBA now. So everybody kind of is. I see ceiling, Lauri Markkanen.
And he's still going up. But that's the thing. Lauri Markkanen just had a career year. He's only getting better.
Oh, and I think that's great. I think that's great. And I don't think he'll hit that, if I'm being honest, because I think Markkanen can be the third best player on a championship team.
Yeah, he's very good.
I think he's very good.
So I love Lauri, I'm not gonna lie.
Controversial, but we'll see where he ends up. I'm less enthusiastic about this pick because I feel like he could play a stretch five role, but I feel like him out there with Giannis, Chris Middleton, I'm interested to see how that front court could work, but
yeah.
I'm not really like too in favor of that. I feel like his game is really close to like what Chris Middleton is, but just like opinion, 4 inches taller.
No, yeah, just taller. And also, bro, I just think Giannis definitely just needs to be. I think Giannis just needs to be paired with I just don't want someone clogging up the paint for him when he's driving. But I think there needs to be another center who can be a little bit more of a dominant force than Brook Lopez in the coming future. That's really it, you know. So obviously, I think the idea of stretch fives are kind of in right now, you know, like that's really what's been going on. But then again, I think that with Dame at the point guard and the playmaking ability that he has, if we were to get a center like who is a straight dominant force inside, I think he wouldn't really struggle. And it's not like we need the center on this team, you know, to be putting up 15 points per game. That's not what we need him to do. We need him to just do his job, rebound, defend, you know. But spacing is always important in this day's NBA. So I think that if he to figure out defensive winger how to grab boards, and yeah, by all means, draft a guy, you know. But I'd rather have I think Ware sounds a little bit better to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. Okay, the next guy that is being mocked to us is Bobby Klintman, the 6'9" wing, playing in Sweden. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer mocked him to us. He said Klintman would be a fascinating choice for the Bucks because of his spot up shooting and defensive versatility. Want to play big, roll with Klintman next to Giannis and Brook Lopez, or Milwaukee could replace Lopez with Bobby Portis to play a bit smaller, or put Giannis at the five, Klintman at the four to still have two bigs sharing the floor. I like the versatility aspect. I don't know exactly how that might work. He didn't really play all that well for Wake Forest. The stats really aren't there, but he's continuing to play professional basketball, which is definitely a good sign. And as you mentioned with Luka and some of these other guys, you just never know. The stats are very tough to read. This is a guy who is versatile and can add a lot of versatility to this team. And he's 21 years old, and he's played a lot of professional basketball since 2019, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm to be completely frank, I'm not really too familiar with Klintman, but I mean, I don't know. I just mentioned earlier, I just really don't. I don't think Giannis. I'm not saying that Giannis can't play the five. I just feel like he's at the five. If he's at the five, he's just not being his full potential. You know, it's just really not. It's not ideal for me, especially if we look at. I think offensively, it's a perfect matchup for him offensively because he goes downhill. He's quicker. He's a lot more physical than these guys. He can finish at the rim through any bit of contact. But I think defensively is really where we're losing what Giannis does on the defensive side of the ball if he's stuck in the center, stuck in the paint guarding the center. You know, that's obviously, you know, that's a whole matchup thing and that's something else, whatever. But I don't know. I'm not really sure how I feel about it. You know, I just I think I'd rather just have Giannis at the four and then, you know, draft a true five or somewhat someone who could grow into a five, you know, more than anything.
Yeah, and we're trying to learn as much as we possibly can about these prospects. We're going through, you know, to start our draft process before the draft really gets underway and the finals are done. We're just trying to throw out every single prospect that we possibly can find that is being mocked to the Bucks. So then we've already talked about them, and then we can do a deep dive later on. Look, it's tough to assess Clemon because he's had like 5 years of professional basketball experience and played American college basketball. Like, it's difficult to assess like what he can be, and we don't know who's going to be on the roster. We don't know if we could do those lineups potentially with Bobby Portis because he could be gone.
Yeah.
So we'll end up seeing what this Bucks team does and how Clinton ends up shaking out. Maybe he rises or falls on draft boards, but we'll move to the 6'5 wing out of Kansas, Kevin McCullough. Gary Parrish of CBS is mocking him to us.
So our last player.
Yeah, he says that McCullough's season came to an end early because of nagging knee injury that derailed Kansas's season. But before that, he was clearly KU's best player in his fifth year of college. So we're talking about another older guy. I know that they have a different kind of cachet. Hey, it's supposed to be a weak draft this year, so
yeah.
So we can't be too difficult. But he says 6'7" wings, elite defender, and should be at the age of 23 a solid plug and play option for Milwaukee that doesn't need to waste any more time with Giannis's prime years. I agree with Mox trying to give us a plug and play player, but also at the same time, we got to find a happy medium, and that is why I really like Ware. But
yeah, I agree that as well. I think the plug and play option is like, if we can do that, then absolutely like put him in there. I definitely agree. Just 25 with a nagging knee injury. I don't know, man. That scares me. We've already had the injury bug this year. Last thing we want is have a really promising rookie prospect come in here and then end up getting injured. He doesn't play all this time. But then again, you know, injuries are what is. So I really don't think it's fair to the player to base them off if they get an injury or whatever that may be. But yeah, man, I think the guy out of Kansas could be very, 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 very talented in this league. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Defense is a forgotten art. Any player who can come to the league and play class defense is going to have a roster spot in the NBA. It's that simple. And I think that I really would love to establish once again the defensive mentality that this team did used to have, the defensive mentality this team had in the 2021 NBA Finals. You know, I would love to really – or identity, that's what it is. Sorry, I don't know why I said mentality. But, yeah, I really would love to reestablish that, you know, into this team, especially with a defensive coach Doc Rivers. Jesus, I was thinking Darvin Ham for some reason for like 10 minutes. I was literally thinking Darvin Ham. Yeah, but I'd love to establish that again, you know. And but yeah, man, I'm just a little bit skeptical, you know, based on, like you said, the fifth year college player with a nagging knee injury. But that aside, I do think that in terms of 6'5", 6'7", his size, I think his size is actually perfect. I think his size is really, really, really good. Because like you said, he definitely can plug in at the two. It's a different league. You can be 6'7", 6'8". Honestly, you know what's crazy? I was talking about how Tristan Silva may come off the bench. He honestly could slot into the two and maybe play that. But well, I guess we'll really see, though. It just depends on how they want to play, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think that in terms of size and what he can do on the court for the Bucks team, I think he is very much a good fit, you know. But it's just, we'll just have to see what happens and, you know, how he's really handled himself post-injuries, treatment, all that stuff. And we'll just see who's on the board, to be honest.
You know, I remember some teams a handful of years ago taking some ready players that were ready. I remember Justice
Winslow.
Was one of the guys who was, he's the most pro-ready prospect, and they put him on the D-Wade Heat team that was kind of getting old, and, you know, already post-Chris Bosh era, I believe, at the time.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's another thing where, like, that is the downfall. So I feel like these players who are pro-ready when they draft, their ceilings don't go much higher. You know, like, that's the risk you're taking with those pro-ready players. You know, they could possibly be at – well, not possibly. I don't think they're the best shape of basketball they'll ever be at, but they're not far off. I think that within 2 to 3 – I think what most of those pro-ready players who come into the league within 2 to 3 years, they're at the highest level of basketball to be playing their entire career. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that is why we do – try to stay away from those players. We, as in the NBA GMs, I'm not one of them, but
not yet. Don't worry. It's in the works.
Eves Missy 6'11". Baylor forward. Nine boards, 10 points, and a block and a half just about per game. He's being mocked to us by ESPN's Jeremy Wu. This is the last prospect on our board for today. And he says of Missy that he might get drafted ahead of Edian Ware, and his physical strength and stature make him a different type of center. He was ranked number 23 in ESPN's top 100 and is also probably the furthest off from contributing useful minutes. But he's the last top 20-ish caliber player on the board for me at this point and would slide into a comfortable spot with the Bucks, who are expected to be in the market for a big here. I think a lot of people are saying, hey, we're going to take a big. But I think we got to find a happy medium. And I'm going to keep saying this until draft night of the guy who's not 23, 24, and the guy who can actually come in and play, or like can't come and play at all. Like we have to find a guy. And that's why I'm really a big fan of Ware. But I think the defense is just without a doubt with this kid, not even a question. Like, he is a beast. Also, he went to Prolific Prep, the high school. Is that not the Julian Newman High School?
I think it is. That name sounds familiar. I think that is.
I'm trying to figure that one out. But he went to Baylor and he was really good for them last year. And then he just declared immediately. But still kind of a project, still something that he needs to work on. From Cameroon.
Okay. My brother, yes sir. Nah, but bro, I don't know. I guess we'll see. What already does make me a little bit not wary. What I actually do like a little bit about him, I think he came from Baylor. Baylor's one of those schools that is known for playing in these set systems, you know, running these offenses where it's like I feel like a lot of the players who come from Baylor are very coachable, which I love personally. That's one thing for me. I think the defensive side of him, like you said, absolute monster, man. He's a force to be reckoned with. And for them to say that, I mean, them saying he might get drafted over Edie, it's really not saying much. Ware, a little bit, you know, like you said. I think that I personally do very much agree with us picking a big because of the age of Brook Lopez, what's going on. I think we're better off picking a big in the draft and then trading for any other skill position like forwards or guards. I think that, in my opinion, that makes the most sense to me logically. I think that's just smarter. You know, we just look at the state of the roster and how we are running low on that position. And I think it just makes so much sense to end up drafting a big guy and then picking a guard or a forward or anything. But yeah, man, if he does go above ED, does go above Ware, that would be a little bit upset, but then that would just mean he would fall to us, you know. And I think me and Patrick are in agreement right now. I think Ware would honestly, he sounds really good right now. He does sound like one of the better prospects to fit into this team. I think he'll be a fit for not just next season, but following seasons afterwards. So I think it'd be really good for us.
Yeah. So I wanted to make a bit of a correction. Prodigy Prep was Julian
Newman. Prodigy.
Prolific Prep in Cali is an NBA factory. They got plenty of guys in the league. So definitely good. But that's his high school. That's neither here nor there. But he played well in college. But just kind of a bit of a project. So we've been saying this the entire podcast, but we will see what the Bucks end up deciding to do in a couple weeks. A lot of different options. I'd say Ware, and I'm very interested in what DeSilva can do because just that European flair to him is also intriguing. And then, don't want to eliminate anybody from this process or anything like that because I really do like Bobby Klintman's experience. He's not old either, and he's had a lot of experience. He could be a guy that I could see as drafting, but he's a 6'9 wing, so do we need that? I don't know. It feels like this team is full of them, but
I guess we'll see.
Who knows? New age in the NBA.
No, absolutely, it is New Age NBA. But sadly, that is the end of the Believe in Bucks podcast today. This has been your co-host, Luca Costa. That has been the main host, the pretty face, Patrick Previty. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode. We'll have a lot more content coming for you guys this summer. Go Bucks.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.